The text is the Gospel reading from St. John. Jesus says, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God." Here ends our text. You're familiar with tongue twisters that are difficult, if not impossible, to say five times fast. Rubber baby buggy bumpers, toy boat, or red bulb, blue bulb. In our text, John uses three different words five times each. Moreover, these three words are used by him more than they are by any other New Testament writer. John uses light 16 times, the next most is 10. John uses world 58 times, the next most is 17. John uses believe 86 times, the next most is 36. John uses believe, world, and light five times in our text. I think there's more than a potential tongue twister here. I think that rather than saying them five times fast, we should think slowly at his using them five times. The first word is believe. John says, "Everyone who believes in Jesus may have eternal life. Whoever believes in him shall not perish. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Notice the object of the belief, not God. People are quick to say, "Oh, I believe in God. So what?" St. James says the devils believe in God, and that doesn't do them any good. The faith that brings salvation is not based on a generic God, a powerful God, a merciful God, a gracious God, or a loving God. The faith that saves is in the lifted up Son of Man. Jesus uses the image of the bronze snake we read about in the Old Testament lesson. The thing that was biting and killing them was a snake. The Lord commanded that a bronze snake, not a living one, be attached to a pole so that everyone could see it and whoever looked at it lived. What is killing and damning you and me is sin and sinfulness. It's in our very natures. God sent his only Son to take on flesh and blood. Now, he wasn't a mere image like the bronze snake was. Jesus was the real deal. But as the bronze snake didn't really have poison, so Jesus wasn't really sinful. Our sins were imputed, assigned, loaded on him. Now imagine if you were bit by one of the poisonous snakes and Moses told you that salvation from that deadly bite was to be found in looking at a bronze snake on a pole. Sounds silly, right? Well, that's the foolishness of the cross. Salvation is not found in a powerful Jesus showing you how to overcome. Salvation is not found in a pious Jesus showing you how to feel. Salvation is not found in a law-giving Jesus showing you how to live. Salvation is found in a Jesus nailed to a cross. Salvation from the deadly poison of sin that has been coursing through you since conception is found in the Son of Man who God lifted up for everyone to believe in. And whoever believes in him shall not perish and is not condemned. People who believe in a generic God or in a God that has neither been lifted up on a cross nor sacrificed for sinners, they do perish and they are condemned. Now, is that an accurate statement of what this part of Holy Scripture says? The liberal mainline churches deny this. So does Main Street America. Everybody in America who dies, particularly tragically, automatically goes to heaven. Well, that's not what Jesus says. Only the one who believes in the crucified Son of Man do not perish and are never condemned. But wait, this is for the world. Say, believe, 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 believe in the lifted up Son of Man, but then see that God so loved the world. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Light has come into the world. The uplifted Son of Man, that is to be the object of our belief, is not only for us, but for the whole world. My sinful fallen mind has a hard time processing this. Every Ash Wednesday, I'm confronted with that truth. The ancient Ash Wednesday prayer begins with, Almighty and everlasting God, because you hate nothing you have made. When we started actually using ashes, I almost changed that prayer. That scripture does speak of God hating things. But then I realized, what God hates were all things He didn't make. Idolatry, greed, abominations, the lying tongue, unbelief, the wicked. God made none of these. You can't lay evil at God's feet. He is not responsible for evil being in the world. Evil has polluted, brought down, infected, and made disgusting the creation God made and declared to be very good. But God isn't letting go of what He made without a fight. The object of God's salvation is nothing less than the whole world. It was for the world that God sent His only beloved Son. God sent Him not to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Did you catch the two different ways the word so is used in the opening sentences? Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. So there means in this way. The second use of the word so doesn't mean in this way, but to such an extent. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. To such an extent did God love not saints, not believers, not the church, not good people, but the world that He gave, not sent, not loaned, not sold, but gave His only beloved Son. This understanding of the word so is where that illustration comes from. I asked God how much He loved me, and He spread out His arms and said this much. But that's not quite right, is it? The question is not how much He loved me, but the world. The answer is still the same. This much. 2 weeks ago, the epistle reading from Romans spelled this out by saying that Christ died not for righteous men, not for good men, and not just for sinners, but for ungodly sinners. The sins of the whole world were on Jesus when He was uplifted on that cross. There is not a sin you can think of, be it yours or anybody else's, that was not there. John makes that point very clear in chapter 1, where he identifies Jesus as the Lamb of God that carries away the sins of the world. And in his first epistle, just in case we might have missed it, he says, He was the wrath-removing sacrifice not only for our sins, but the sins of the whole world. No limited atonement here. No limit to the forgiveness of sins. No limit to the light. God sends the light of the knowledge of the glory of God that is in the face of Christ into the whole world. Yes, after saying believe and world 5 times, say light, 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 light. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. The Son of Man was attached to a cross with nails and lifted up for all the world to believe in, so as not to perish or be condemned. God sent this beacon of light out into all the world. Baptism, where the death and life of Jesus are applied to sinners, is for all nations. Absolution is for whoever sins. The body and blood of Jesus and Holy Communion are for as many as whom He first gave His body on the cross and shed His blood therefore. The world. But what happened? Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They didn't want their foul, evil deeds exposed. In these last dark ages, you have to see what is happening. There are whole churches, there are whole denominations that are devoted to telling people they can have their darkness and still come into the light. They can believe in the Jesus crucified for their sins while keeping, protecting, using, and defending their sins. The most obvious ones are the metropolitan churches, where gays and lesbians are assured that homosexuality is not darkness at all, but they can stand in the light of Jesus with it. But there are liberal churches saying that very same, liberal Lutheran churches saying that very same thing, and there are conservative Lutheran ones who are telling couples living together or fornicating that they can keep their darkness and still have their light. No, no, no. I would not be preaching the whole counsel of God. I would fall, in fact, under the judgment of the unfaithful watchman if I stood on Zion's wall and told you that God loves the world so much that there's no need to repent of your sins. Instead, you can keep them, you can defend them, and you can die in them, and you will neither be punished nor condemned. No, that's not doing the truth. Now, isn't that a strange phrase? We speak of speaking the truth. The insert translates, whoever lives by the truth. But that's not what John wrote. He wrote, whoever does the truth comes to the light. This goes with the sentence above that, which correctly translated is all who practice worthlessness hate the light. Worthless, that's not the Greek word that's the antithesis for good. And it's not the Greek word for an active worker of evil. It's the word for good for nothing, foul, worthless. Now, if the worthless, the base, the good for nothing, are said to hate the light, how much more those who actively pursue their sins, don't wish to be freed from them, and declare them to not to be sins at all? How much do they hate the light? Whether their sins be against the sixth, the fifth, the fourth, or the third, the judgment is the same. They hate the light and they remain in the darkness. Doing the truth is acknowledging the truth that your sins, all of them, one of them, any of them, are damning. Doing the truth is confessing the truth that you do not have the strength to break with your sins. Doing the truth brings you into the light at the first, and the first sight of that can be horrible. That's what your sins really are. That's how horrible, how ugly, how gross they really are. But the light shows you the uplifted Son of Man, Jesus on the cross. It shows you that's where all your sins have been placed, punished, and paid for. How can you know that for sure? How can you know for sure your sins were there? Well, the world's sins were there. Are you part of the world? Then your sins were there. God no more wishes to condemn you to perish than he does the world. You are doing the truth every time you say the five amens in the liturgy that are after the invocation, the absolution, the Pax Domini, the communion, and the benediction. Amen. It's true. I have been baptized into the triune God. Amen. It's true. I've been absolved of all my sins. Amen. It's true. The peace of the Lord is with me through the body and blood of Jesus on the altar. Amen. It's true. The body I've ate and the blood I've drank do strengthen and preserve me in the true faith. Amen. It's true. The triune God put his name on me and has granted me his peace. Go ahead, say it five times fast. Believe, world, light, amen. But think about it real slow. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.